Hallelujah. There's a sweet presence of God here today, and I know why. Because every time we talk about the Holy Spirit, something's coming. He knows. He meets us here ahead of time. Whew. You guys all must be cooking. Wow. God is so good to us. In spite of us, it's incredible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, please. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. But the anointing, hello, which you have received from him abides in you. So what's he saying? He said, you won't be deceived if the anointing's, if you're allowing the anointing to stay activated and you're being, and you're walking in the anointing. That is called walking in the Spirit. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, Jesus is the manifested physical anointing. He's called the anointed one in his anointing. And what is the anointing? It's the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to be able to access the anointing. The anointing is accessed. And the anointing gives us power to overcome. What's it going to overcome? The first thing it overcomes is self. Without the anointing, you can't overcome yourself. It overcomes evil attacks, the powers of darkness. Isn't deception the power of darkness? Amen. And it overcomes worldly influences. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly in the anointing. His whole purpose of coming was he had to die on a cross so that the anointing could be released. He couldn't give you the anointing without dying on a cross first. Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Amen? Now, to access the anointing, there's three things that we must be consistent in. The first thing is prayer. Prayer. Philippians chapter 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer. Three things that we must be consistent in is prayer. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added to you. How do you seek the kingdom of God? Through prayer. Therefore, do not what? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own. Is its own. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. For no one understands him, However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Wow. Speaking in tongues is prayer. Why? Because you're praying the perfect will of God. So prayer is the first thing. Remember, we want to maintain a consistency to access the anointing every single day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. We deal with every day as a brand new day. The second thing is called praise. Prayer, praise, and worship. Praise, Psalm 22:22. You know, as you become consistent and disciplined, it's not about a feeling. God meets you every time. He's always there, whether you think he is or not. In fact, he comes closer when you don't feel like doing anything. Man, Lord, I just really don't feel like praying today. You're not going to hear him say, "Oh, come on, it's okay. Come on, you can do it." He isn't going to root you on. He's going to watch to see what you do. Why? Because everything that you and I do is either gaining his trust or losing it. He wants to make sure that you're not led by how you feel or by others, but by his spirit, and stay maintained in your routine, that you are consistent no matter what. That's not religion. That's relationship. Hallelujah. Psalm 22:22. I will declare your name to my brethren. Are we all there? In the midst of the assembly, I will what? Praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him and all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried out to him, he heard. You must believe that God hears your prayers and supplications. He knows what you're going through. Amen. But we praise. We praise. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20 in verse 22. There's something important about praise. It pushes back your enemy. Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Talking about confusion in an enemy's camp, they didn't know who they were killing. So when Judah had came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they had stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. The spoil will be released soon. Amen. So we got prayer, and prayer connects you. Prayer acknowledges God. Prayer. It connects you. That's where relationship is, isn't it? And when you praise, it pushes back your enemy. Praise is the weapon. That's why it's called the weapon of praise. It not only pushes back your enemy, but it's preparing for worship. Because what does worship do? Worship opens the door to the anointing. It grants access. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So the Father is also seeking. Why? Because the Father is going to come and release the anointing. Somebody get it? And who's the anointing? Holy Spirit. Eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. Worship opens access to the anointing. But we must maintain those three consistently. Prayer, praise, and worship. Hallelujah. Why? Because the purpose of the anointing is to overcome. The first thing it must overcome is yourself. The second thing it overcomes is evil attacks. And third thing it overcomes is worldly influence, which we are bombarded with all three of those every single day. 1 Samuel 16, verse 22. I really believe we are on the cutting edge. Of the release of a great anointing. Now it's a new wine, it's new oil, and God is preparing his body. We're seeing all kinds of conflict globally. And many people have walked away from the anointing, don't even know it. Because they got caught up in worldliness. They began to chase money instead of God. They began to chase fame instead of God. They began to chase other things and materialism instead of God. There's nothing wrong with having everything, but God always must be first, no matter what. And anything he gives is for his glory. Amen. It's always for his glory. 1 Samuel 16, 22, please. Is everybody there? Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was one whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, which is his distressing spirit, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become what? Refreshed, well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Why? Because he was worshiping, bringing the anointing. Now remember, before this happened, Samuel anointed David to become king. But he wasn't king yet. But he carried the possession of the anointing. So King Saul walked out of the anointing because of his disobedience. So the only person who could help Saul was the one that was carrying the kingly anointing. So when David came in to play and worship God, that anointing came in and the demons booked. They ran. Saul became refreshed, but then David would go back and do whatever, and then the demons would come back again. Because they said they always come back, don't they? See, it's the same thing with the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, anointing. The outer court is salvation. The holy place is priesthood. The most holy place is warrior, where there's worship. See, so we've got to go through there to access. We want to access that anointing every single day in our lives. Every day. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the anointing comes upon you. What's the power of the Holy Spirit for? What's the anointing for? Overcome. If you ain't overcoming, you ain't got enough anointing. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but you recover quickly. Amen? Again, we are witnesses. Why? Did Jesus overcome? He laid down his life. Amen? He overcame. He overcame all three temptations from the devil. And then, of course, the Bible says, and at an opportune time, the devil was going to come back and tempt him again. But he overcame the temptations. He overcame himself. And come on, he did say, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. Boy, the anointing kicked in and said, oh, no, we don't. We got a job to finish here. But he overcame. Why? Because the anointing is to overcome. So why do so many people not overcome? Because they walk away from the anointing. And they don't even know it. Because they've gone from the anointing to religion. They don't realize it. And it's not about a feeling. Now, don't get me wrong. The anointing can come right on you. Because there's three areas. The anointing lives in you. Amen. If you're abiding, if you're maintaining. But then there's times when the anointing comes upon you. Well, you know that you know that you know. I've gone to places. I remember my wife and I went one time to this church. We were at the church, and I walked in. As soon as I walked in the door, the anointing came upon me, and he came to protect me because something was going to happen. And I talked to my wife. I said, honey, the anointing just came on me, and there's something getting ready to happen because I was protected. I'm telling you, I felt like Samson. Nothing could touch me. Good thing nobody said anything to me. I would have wiped out the whole church. That's happened to me. I went into another place, Kinko's. And before I walked in there, the anointing came upon me. And I said, Lord, why is the anointing upon me? And these people were very rude. And he was protecting me from getting in the flesh. It was like he was restraining me. But I'll tell you what, when they said something to me, because they were being wise, because they lost their power and they were sitting around this table, and I asked something and they said something to me, and they knew that they were being wise, I just looked at them. Every one of them turned their heads. There was about five or six of them at the table. I was about to flip that table over. And that was that anointing. It was that Samson anointing. It's called the spirit of might. Because there's that spirit of wisdom. And there's that spirit that comes upon us according to Isaiah. It's the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, that anointing comes upon you, can be used for different things. It can be used for healing. That's why when people get healed, sometimes they feel heat. Amen. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But you just never know. You could be walking down the street and anointing come upon you. Poof. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why don't you go in this store and buy milk? Milk. And you go do it. You obey. You come out. And next thing you know, there's somebody out there that needs milk somewhere. You just don't know. But you got to obey. Because the more you obey, the more God can release the anointing with your life. Hallelujah. Power. Yes, to overcome. Mark 16, 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptized in what? The Holy Spirit, the anointing. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who what? Believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. I've never seen a religious person cast out a devil. They will speak with new tongues. Hello. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because when you're laying hands on the sick, they can have a miracle sign in one right then and there and get healed. Or God, you can pray for them, and God can give them the wisdom and discernment of what to do by laying hands on them that they didn't know before. Does everybody get that? I mean, we all want to see miracle signs and wonders. Amen. We all want to raise the dead. And there's a different anointing for each one. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Man, the first time I prayed for someone, they got healed, I went everywhere. I want to lay hands on everyone. The Lord had to restrain me. Because I was going, why aren't they getting healed now? You just healed this person. Why didn't you get healed this one? Why? I didn't send you out to heal everyone, guy. I send you out to those who I want to be healed. The other ones, I have a path for them to be healed. And sometimes he says, my grace is sufficient. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Why? Because you can't give what you ain't got. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washing to her wallowing in mire. Now, why? Because they walked away from the anointing and went back to the old. You walk away from the anointing, you're going right back to the old. And that's what the devil tries to do to me and you all the time. He tries to draw us away from the anointing. He tries to draw us away from accessing. He likes to bring distractions. Remember, if you're the one being promoted in anything you do, you know it ain't God. You know it ain't God. Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. Then Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Everybody speak this with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What's the Spirit? The anointing. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. What was that? And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, his return. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So the anointing is used for service, isn't it? Amen. Look at people who play instruments. They got an anointing. You know, there's a special anointing that comes upon a person that's a true worshiper of the Lord. They can play an instrument phenomenally. Some of them have great talents, but the anointing ain't there. It's just a talent. And you can't be confused by the talent and the anointing. Because that's where people get caught up in the corruption and don't even know it. Oh, he's anointed. Smoking cigars, drinking and partying. That person ain't anointed. No, you know them by their fruits, don't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witnesses against my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, and that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. And I'm going to close at Mark 8:34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Accessing the anointing. We want to be able to access the anointing every single day, somehow, some way. Amen? That's why we must start the day off in prayer. Prayer. Fellowship. Communion. Decreeing. Speaking the word. You know, there'll be a period of time where you have enough word in you where you can go anywhere. My prayer time, I don't bring my Bible in my prayer time. And I'm not trying to tell people not to bring your Bible in your prayer time. It all depends what kind of prayer time it is. There's time when I can sit with the Lord and just bring my Bible in devotion. But my prayer time is warfare time. I'm called to warfare. That's my prayer time. Amen? But that's me. But in that, he allows me access to the anointing, because without the anointing, I can't pray those prayers, man. Let me tell you. Hallelujah. So just know that there is another level that God is trying to bring us to. And we keep pressing and pressing and pressing, and more will be released. You know? Sometimes it's just to maintain, and sometimes to advance, and sometimes it's a battle. You don't know what God's getting ready to do, and you don't need to know. Just always be ready, season, and out. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed, and we know that you got a plan, and that plan is to prosper us. That plan is to turn to us in an area and exchange out all things that are not pleasing to you, so that all things that are in us can be pleasing to you, and to increase the anointing so that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power, and the signs and wonders and witnesses, that we're ready in season and out no matter what's going on, and we don't miss what you're asking us to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.